We've been in a series called First Things First as we tackle 2020. And this Sunday is, the theme is listen. We want to listen first. And there's a couple of ways that we could take this. It could be, let's listen to God first during 2020. Not a bad idea. We should probably do that. But I want to take a little bit of a different spin of talking about listening first. I want to give you a guide for how to handle and how to survive 2020. And that is going to be to not just listen to God first, but also listen to each other and really hear each other. And so one of my favorite comedians is a comedian by the name of Brian Regan. He is absolutely hilarious. There might be times when I'm preaching where I am like channeling my inner Brian Regan. And so I want you to watch this clip that I believe will help set up this theme for this morning. Beware of the me monster. Now, the question for us this morning is not, do you know anybody who is a me monster, but are you a me monster? I can stand before you and admit to you that there have been times in my life where I have been an incredible me monster. And it was when I got married and my beautiful, loving wife would delicately pull me aside and she would say, "You are being a me monster." And it really is helpful to understand that there are times where we want to hijack conversations. And really what happens in those moments is we aren't actually listening. One of the things we talked about as a staff when I kind of shared with them that I was going to show this clip was the realization that a lot of times people are me monsters because they themselves haven't been heard. Nobody listened to them, and so they feel like they have to jump in, right? They have to say something. So the question for us, the challenge is, how well do you listen? How well do you listen? And if you're going to survive this coming year politically, let me tell you, there's one thing that we have to learn to do, and it's going to be to listen. And not just as Christians. I'm not talking about just as Christians, it's going to be responsible of us to listen, because it would, but just as humans, right? I mean, just being a human being, being able to navigate the 2020 calendar year, the one aspect that I want to teach you this morning as we talk about first things first, it's to listen. So you're going to go with me on this journey? Amen? All right, good. You got to remember, the more you amen, the faster I preach. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Come on. Come on. So pastor, author, Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned us about becoming a me monster when he says, many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because Christians are talking where they should be listening. He goes on to say, a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say is an impatient, inattentive listening. That is only waiting for a chance to speak. Challenging quote. How well do you listen? How well do you listen to the single mom next door? How well do you listen to that annoying coworker? Because the reality is sometimes when you listen to the annoying coworker, you actually hear something important. Sometimes you'll actually hear why they're so annoying. And some of you, you know what I'm talking about. But a lot of times what you also hear is sometimes a great hurt or pain. And it's interesting when we talk about listening. I mean, how well do you listen to the person on the train or the bus or sitting across from you at the cafeteria table or sitting next to you at the desk? How well do you listen to the people around you? I don't know if you've noticed this or not, But there's a lot of people who walk through this life with these dangly things coming out of their ears. Typically, they're white. Some have wires. Some don't. Some are huge and actually cover the ear. Actually, some you can push a button and literally hear nothing else around you. Obviously, I'm talking about earbuds and headphones, but that's the world that we live in. Here's the reality. Those are really great. I love them. I use them. I use them to my advantage sometimes when I don't want to be in a conversation. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You do it too. You all, listen. At one time or another, you have walked towards somebody and you're like, oh no. Hey, yeah, uh-huh. Yep, that's right. That's right. And then all of a sudden you hear, boop, boop, doo-doo, you know, right? You've done it too. We live in a world that doesn't want to listen. We'd rather be isolated. We'd rather put the earbuds in and just tune out. Now, is that wrong? You're like, please tell me no. Please tell me that's not wrong. No, it's not wrong because sometimes it's the best protection we can offer ourselves. But also, let's look at it from the other side. Is it always right? Is it always right? Do we miss opportunities to be able to really listen to someone else? Because maybe God in that moment is trying to provide an opportunity for us to listen, and we've negated it by just canceling the noise around us or putting something in our ears. Have you ever noticed the number of platforms that are out there in order to give you a voice? Now think about this. All the platforms that are out there that give you a voice, what kind of conversation is that? It's not. It's a megaphone. It's one-sided. There's all these platforms that exist in order to give people a voice. We live in a culture where everybody wants to be heard, but nobody wants to listen. So what do we do with this? It's amazing what you can learn when you listen. People are desperate. I can say this with confidence. People are desperate for someone to listen to them. In fact, there was a young man in college who decided to do a small experiment. He took an article out in the school newspaper, and literally in bold lettering, it just said, "I'll listen, you talk." And then he charged $25 for a half hour. To his amazement, tons of people took him up on it. And all he did for 30 minutes is sit there and listen. Didn't offer any advice. Didn't share anything, and he made $25 for a half hour because people are just desperate for someone to listen. I want you to know something. Because of the way we're wired, because of the way that we're created, listening is a natural resource. It's a natural resource. Showing respect through listening does this amazing thing. It earns respect. When we show respect through listening, it actually gives us the potential to be heard when it's time to speak. I hope you guys are writing this stuff down because listening does earn the right to be heard. A native once shared with a missionary after the missionary spent so much time with a village listening. He said, "You have built a bridge of love from my heart to yours, and it's like Jesus just walked over." Think about the power of that moment. It wasn't that the missionary walked over through the act of listening. It was as if Jesus walked over because of the act of listening, building bridges between hearts. Not because the missionary was filling it with a bunch of chatter or a bunch of, gospel-centered missions and all those things. And again, those things are really great. But in that moment, what built the bridge from heart to heart was the fact that the missionary simply listened to the villager. I want you to know that people can tell the difference between genuine care and an agenda. You think that they can't. But I want you to know, they will sniff it out. You know what? One of the most powerful things that I think you can do on the train or the bus or sitting next to a friend or driving or wherever it is that you come in contact with people, maybe you're in the library at school and you're studying, one of the most powerful actions that you can do, and you can even do it this week, is when somebody comes up next to you or sits next to you, you simply do this. Everybody watch. Everybody look. Give me your eyes. You simply do this. Just literally take it out of your ear. That gesture alone shows that you have the desire to genuinely listen to what that person might share with you. All it was this. That's it. All you did. Now, granted, I think you probably have both in, but you get the idea. I'm just using one. Here, I'll do it this side too, just in case. Right? Because then, you know, this week you'll be sitting with a friend or something and you'll go like this, and then you'll have the other one still in, and you'll be like, well, you know, the pastor told me just to take the right, you know, this one out. So, you know, like this. No, take them both out. Right? But just that action alone will communicate a message that what that person is sharing with you is important to you. And granted, is the timing always perfect? Heck no! I actually believe that there are times that God purposely puts conversations at the worst possible time because he's trying to make a point. He's trying to make a point that that person is more important than whatever it is that you're doing in that minute. Because he created them just like he created you. They are the Imago Dei. They are made in the image of God just like you're made in the image of God. And he wants you to know that the timing will not be perfect. When is it? When is it? So, Jesus had the best opportunity to be the ultimate me monster, right? He had the opportunity. In fact, Brian Regan goes on in that routine. He talks about he wants to be one of the 12 men that walked on the moon, right? Because that can trump any story. Anybody starts talking about how great they are and how wonderful they are, and all of a sudden, you know, the person who walks on the moon is like, I walked on the moon. And it shuts everything else down. Jesus could have done that. You know, the people, religious leaders, they were like, oh, I did wonderful things for God, and I did all this. My temple worship was perfect this week, you know. And Jesus is like, I raised the dead. You know what I mean? Like, I conquered death. I healed this. You see that blind guy over there? Yeah, I did that. Jesus could have done that, could he not? But did he? No, in fact, I think Jesus serves as the ultimate example of how we can navigate this year. In fact, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. So Luke chapter 24, and if you're using the Pew Bibles, the numbers are up on the screen for you. And again, I just want to share with you that those Bibles that are in the pews are gifts. They are gifts for you. I want you to take it with you if you need a Bible or if your Bible is falling apart. Somebody told me this morning that they lost half of the book of Revelation. It's just gone. It's just gone. They hope it's in their car. Listen to me. There is no greater conversation than I could have today as a pastor than hearing that a person used their Bible so much that half the book of Revelation fell out in their car. It's just not going to happen, right? Pastor Sally, we had to convince her to get a new Bible. She would come to staff meeting with her Bible, and it literally was in chunks. It was like, she's like, hold on a second, I need to go to this chunk and turn to that one. I mean, it was falling apart. I love that. Get into God's word. Take a Bible with you if you need it. If it's falling apart, take another one, right? We'll gladly replace it. So in Luke 24, let me give you some context here. This is Resurrection Sunday, right? The women had already gone to the tomb. The disciples already ran. There was a race between Peter and John. John says he won. Peter's like, no, I did. And they got to the tomb. They realized the body was gone. But still, even to that point, the disciples started to go back to their daily life. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were like, well, that happened. And so these two men, two disciples, they weren't a part of the 12, but they were part of the 75. They decided that they were going to head back to Emmaus. They're walking along the road, and we pick up the story in verse 13 in Luke 24. It says, that same day, two Jesus followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Now, this is key. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? So remember, we're going to use Jesus as an example for us in how to navigate 2020. Look at verse 15. Look at what Jesus does. I love this. The first thing that he does is he doesn't walk up to them and go, hey guys, what's up? It's Jesus. Do you remember that time I died on the cross and you guys all ran? Yeah, no, I beat it. You all should have known this. No, like later he does do this in the conversation. I will admit that to you. But he doesn't walk up. Instead, in verse 15, he says, he began walking with them. He began walking with them. Now, why is this so important? Well, here's lesson one for this morning. We need to start walking with people. He didn't walk up and go, hey, I'm Jesus, guys, and now you're going to listen to me. Instead, he walked with them. So the first lesson that we can learn from Jesus and his approach and how we're going to navigate 2020 is we need to start walking with people. Now, don't walk at them. Walk with them. Now, anybody who has ever walked in the city or like a park, anybody who's ever walked, okay, you know the difference between people who walk at you and people who walk with you. Now, I grew up in the city. I grew up in South Philly. My best friend were the cracks in the sidewalk. That's what I stared at when you walked. You don't make eye contact. And you know the difference, though, when even when you're looking down, not paying attention, when somebody's walking at you. Because they're going to come in full force. And it can be intimidating, can't it? So what does that look like in our own lives? How often do we tend to walk at people versus walking with them? Because there's a difference. There's a major difference. When we walk with people, we can actually have a conversation with them, and it's not just an agenda. It's genuine care. So I'm not talking about just even walking with people spiritually. I'm actually talking about actually physically walking with people. Again, knowing the way that we're wired for nature. Our bodies are naturally wired to be outdoors. The worst invention was air conditioning. Because it for some of you were like, no, no, I disagree, kind sir. But now think about this. Because we live in a world of isolation, it used to be that people sat out on their front porches. Now the only time you see people sit out on the front porch is when their air conditioners broke down. We're wired, we're made to be outside. Do you know the incredible opportunity that you have to actually go on a walk and talk with people and how much information can be shared between two people by simply walking together? It's amazing, it's powerful. Something else to learn from Jesus is verse 17. Verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? Lesson number one, start walking with people. Here's lesson number two from verse 17. Listen before you speak. Listen before you speak. I found this passage of scripture this week in Proverbs 18, verse 13, and it says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Happens all the time. Before the facts are actually out on the table, people are, right? But spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Jesus noticed that they were talking about something that was important to them. He actually said the word intently, right? He says the word, why? What are you discussing so intently? He recognized that the conversation that these two men were having was important to them. And so he asked them, what are you talking about? Jesus noticed that it was important to them, so he asked them, what are you talking about? Bonhoeffer actually calls this, and he calls listening, a ministry. This is the ministry of listening. He's quoted as saying, we should listen with the ears of God that we may speak the word of God. And you're going to hear me tell you later about being a conduit of God in those moments through the ministry of listening. This leads to lesson number 3. Asking questions is a part of listening. Asking questions is a part of listening. Jesus asked them questions. He was the best at asking perspective questions. And Jesus got permission to listen before he spoke. Did you notice that? What are you talking about? Jesus knew to ask perspective questions because he really wanted to get down to the level of what was important to them. If you look throughout Jesus' ministry, don't just look at this story, but look at other stories where Jesus has interaction with people. Many times he does the very rabbinical thing of asking questions, but the questions that he asks are actually to gain perspective. It was to understand what was important to them. Think about blind Bartimaeus who shows up. The dude's blind. And Jesus is like, what would you like me to do for you? Duh. I'm not sure if you caught this, Jesus, but my name's blind Bartimaeus. Emphasis on blind. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, there's multiple reasons why he asked the question, but one of the reasons is because he wanted to get to the heart of what Bartimaeus was really looking for. He really wants to understand the intention of the person and what's important to the person. If you want to be a good listener, ask good perspective questions. What do you think about that? How does that make you feel? What do you hear when they say that? I can tell you that some of the most impactful times of understanding racial reconciliation and the racial divide is asking a person of a different race how that makes them feel. Because let's just be honest, I have no idea what they're experiencing. Asking perspective questions helps us to be able to not just, it shows an intention of care. It shows a level of, I care about you. Verse 17 goes on. It says, they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. Again, with the questions, right? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. And then suddenly Jesus was like, hey guys, it's me! No, that's not what happens. The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, they said, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and the other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. And again, notice, Jesus doesn't just come out and say, hey guys, it's me. In fact, the scripture says that he walked further with them. And he had a conversation with them. He even rebuked them. But instead, what we can learn from Jesus is that he started to walk with them. He listened to them. And he asked greater questions to gain greater perspective. Because he didn't want to just know what their perspective or what he thought he wanted to hear. He wanted to know, What do they think about this? What is their perspective? James 1:19, which I've preached on multiple times, it's an important passage of scripture. Understanding this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The first thing that we do is listen. Be quick to listen. Don't be slow to listen. Don't let it be the last resort. Let it be the first thing that we do. And then be slow to speak. That's where you need to take your time. Don't take your time in listening, but take your time in speaking. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do in a conversation is not say anything at all. And simply just to listen. For one thing, that we need to learn to put aside the negative feelings, the grudges, the hurts, the misunderstandings. When we put those things aside, then we can really hear what people are saying. So let's talk about how this applies to our lives. Here's the amazing thing. Good listening is a great means of grace put into action through our lives. Y'all, get your phones out, take a picture of the screen, whatever you need to do, tweet it. That's a good word. Good listening is a great means of grace put into action through our lives. I don't know that we ever really consider the act or the ministry of listening as a means of grace. But I want to share with you this morning, it is. And it's powerful. It's a powerful means of grace. Imagine if this year, specifically as we start this 2020 year, imagine if we recognized that we have differences. I read an article a couple of weeks ago, which was kind of the inspiration for this message. And the article actually stated that when Nancy Pelosi tore up the president's speech, it was probably the most honest thing that had happened between the two of them. The fact that the president refused to shake her hand. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say who's right, who's wrong, what side are we on, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about the reality of where we're at socially. That was the most honest thing that happened between the two of them, him not shaking her hand and her tearing up his speech. So now that we know that we have differences, now that we don't have to pretend anymore like we like each other, and instead, now we can really get down to the business. Okay, what do we do from here? What is our response? How do we live in a culture where presidents don't shake the hands of speakers of the House and speakers of the House tear up speeches of the president? How do we respond to that? What is our call to action as believers? What's our call to action as human beings? It's all out there now. We don't have to pretend. I know some of you were like, well, we haven't been pretending. Like this, we're pretty sure that it's been out there for a while. But I want you to think about this. Imagine if we recognized that we really do have differences. But instead of isolating, we desired to pursue understanding. What if instead of backing away or pulling away or not engaging in the conversation, we desire to treat the other person with respect in front of you and to know that they are a child of God like you're a child of God and to seek understanding, to listen and to truly listen. It doesn't even mean that what the person is saying to you, you have to agree with them. But the act of listening is still a means and a ministry of grace. Imagine if we relentlessly treated everyone as human and we created space to listen. Imagine if that would happen. Imagine if we were known as a community of people, if we were the body of Christ that created space for indifference, not indifference in what we believe, but in the fact of recognizing that there are things that are different between us. But we're going to create spaces to be able to truly listen and to hear. 2020 is going to be a year of division and polarization. That train has left the station. And it is traveling down the tracks at 1,000 miles per hour. And we are not going to be able to stop it. Polarization and division. I almost said globalization, as that wouldn't have been the right word. Polarization and division is going to be a part of our story in 2020 as a country. The question is, can it also be a year that we lean into community? Can it also be a year that we lean into community. In a year when everything says, stay home, don't listen, disengage, isolate, what would it look like if we lived counterculturally and instead of doing those things, we showed up? What if we were present? What if we showed up for each other and not, and we need to fight isolation? What if we showed up for the people in our lives? What if we showed up not because it's just what they need, but it's what we need? Sometimes the act of showing up, if we flip the script in our mind, we tend to think, well, I need to show up because I need to be there for my friend. I need to be there for them. Sometimes we need to show up because it's not about what they need. It's about what you need. Showing up can help. Again, I read an article. It was written by a writer named Ben Irwin, who said that the goal should be not to pretend everything is fine, and not to symbolically tear each other apart, but to listen to each other, learn from each other, and pursue peace through relationship and action. Let's be better in 2020. You have a choice. You can be bitter, or you can be better. Let's choose to be better. In 2020, you have a choice. Nobody will force that on you. Nobody will force that on you. You have a choice. You can be bitter or you can be better. Let's choose being better. You can isolate or you can show up. You can push away and you can and be gone and not involve yourself in community, or you can press in to community. Because this is a beautiful mess. Welcome. This is a beautiful mess. But the church is one of the greatest examples of God's redemptive love. Because if God can redeem the people at 1451 Raymond Drive, He can redeem anybody. If He can redeem me, He can redeem anybody. We have a choice. Let's be better in 2020. Let's walk with people. Let's not just walk at them. Let's walk with them. Let's listen to people. Genuinely listen to people. And let's ask perspective questions so that we can gain understanding from their perspective, not just yours. In fact, it all wraps up into this nice, little bow of a message this morning. Let's be more like Christ. Let's just do what Jesus did. Let's just live that way. It doesn't mean we have to go around and save everybody. That would be nice. But let's trust the Holy Spirit. Let's go and really listen to people. First things first. Amen? Let's stand together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you do, you challenged my heart this morning. The challenge of really showing up. Everything wants to push against being together. Lord, we know that the evil one works most and best in isolation. But Lord, I pray that our heart would be leaned to you, learning from you, seeing your example, the multiple times when you placed yourself in really difficult situations, even times when the disciples told you, Jesus, do you know what you're doing? But yet in those moments, you were walking with people. You were listening to people. You were asking them questions to gain their perspective because you desired that. Lord, and I'm thankful this morning that you do that with us. So irregardless of our response to this message, Lord, I pray that we hear this morning that you do that with us, that you walk with us, that you listen to us, that you desire to gain our perspective, and that even in the midst of all of that, you desperately love us still. Man alive. Lord, I pray that the means of grace that we've experienced at your hand, and as we've already even sung this morning, that as you fill us, Lord, we pour out onto others around us. Lord, this is a means of grace that you've extended to us, and I pray it is a means of grace that we now have the opportunity to extend to others. We thank you for this. Man, I thank you that you give us the option and the opportunity, instead of being bitter, to be better. And now, Trinity, I just encourage you to extend your hands. And then also just to share with you one other praise. Last week, we stood before you and we had a bake sale for Superstart, which is for our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. It's a huge event. And last week, we raised all of the money to actually send 5 students to Superstart for free. Yay, God. In the middle of flu season, we raised money through a bake sale. That's only Jesus. Amen? Amen. God is good. And so I encourage you just to extend your hands and to receive this blessing, this benediction. And as you know it, I encourage you to say it with me this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.